And music there from a gentleman by the name of Matthew Wilder, right here on Coleman's Live 95. We are WRJMLP Coleman, 4 o'clock on Tuesday, or Thursday, actually. I think we missed Tuesday. But I'm sure you are here being the faithful Sports Talk Live listener that you are. Sports Talk Live is brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday by our friends at People's Bank. They bring you Rears Moolah each and every week, as well as the Player of the Week. And your hosts for Sports Talk Live is Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Hey, thanks, Jay, and welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of Sports Talk Live. And, Ronnie, a cool, blustery day, but
yes,
mighty fine in here.
Oh, it is. It feels good in here. A little, few little sprinkles outside, and that wind is a little chilly. So welcome to late January in Coleman, right. Alabama.
And it's going to get worse tomorrow. Yeah, did I hear the S word? Not the S word that you're thinking of, but the old snow
word. Tomorrow night, I think there's a chance of a little mixture. I don't think there's any accumulation. At least that's the last I heard.
That don't matter.
Exactly.
It don't matter. I promise you the bread is sold, the
milk
is gone.
And the eggs.
Yeah. And I've never really understood that because, you know, once every 10, 15 years, we get snowed in for 2-3 days.
2-3 days, exactly.
And none of us are going to starve to death in 2 days.
I know, but boy, don't you know the grocery stores love to hear it when the weathermen mention snow.
A couple of years ago, they were giving snow, and we were actually out of bread and milk, and Kathy had
sent
me a
text. How did you make it to get it?
Said, on the way home, stop and pick up some bread and milk. I said, no, I'm not doing it. Only because I didn't want to be mixed in with the people that everybody talk about going to the store when they mention
snow. What'd she tell you? Tell you get about 5 gallons of milk, two or three loaves of bread, and go buy some chickens on the way home, too. We'll have our own eggs so we don't have to buy them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, man. Yeah.
This is off the subject. But,
we have no subject.
Yeah, while we're just rambling here. Have you ever watched Doomsday Preppers?
Yes, I've watched it a time.
And I'm sorry, if you're a Doomsday Prepper and you're listening to me, I mean, I know we need to take precaution, but these people on TV,
they're way out
there. Wow, I'm telling you.
They're not in the park.
No.
I've watched it a time or two. You know, it seemed like I've seen it. They have stuff, you know, like cellars and have it buried. And have food for, 20 years?
Yeah,
worth
20
of food
years. And they have their one family I watched. Once a month, they would have a drill in case their fort or their house was attacked during this time. And they had little 6-7 year old kids out
have
around, with guns laying down in the grass, you know, to pick off the people. And so.
Kind of like we do in the schools, you know, once a month we'll have a fire to tornado drill. Oh, they have their doomsday drill.
Yeah, I do believe in being prepared.
Oh, I do too.
I'm not prepared. I mean,
I'm not prepared if power goes off.
Right.
I don't have any heat.
If power's out over 10 minutes, I'm in trouble.
I don't have any heat, do you?
No.
I don't. No. When was it?
I do have a generator, come think about it. I bought it for tailgating, so I could use that.
Well, that's for, you know.
Go sit in that fancy truck you got.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
sit in that truck you parked out in there.
Well, that is not
you
a owned
live.
Truck. That
you
is
could
a,
live in that, though.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely live in that.
That's exactly right. When was it we had the big, huge, you know, we had the big ice storm years ago? What year was that? What was the last year?
97, 98.
I said then, I will not be caught again without an alternate source of power in case my power's out for that long period of time.
And you still I lied.
I lied.
Yeah. Mother and Dad actually put them in a generator, and the thing kicks on every Wednesday.
In their home.
Runs its cycle. Yeah, if electricity goes off, it automatically kicks on.
Yeah. And how much this has nothing to do with what we okay, I got a buddy of mine that's got one of those, too. My question is, how much stuff will that thing run in a house?
It depends on how much stuff you've got in your house. But it'll run like their whole household. I mean, they'll never notice
and
the difference.
They have different models for different
Yeah.
So you can.
We're looking at one here, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're talking about running your refrigerator and your TV and your hot water?
Yeah, you'd never know.
So essentially, you'd never know the power's out?
Right.
I guess they give those generators away at a cheap price, don't they?
Yeah, it is not cheap.
That's what I was going to say. I guarantee you that does not come cheap.
And I'll fill you in on that in a minute, Jay.
But if I was building a house?
Oh, yeah.
I'd have one now.
Right. Right.
That's why my buddy did it. Built a house in Scottsboro. He lives on the lake up there, and when he built his house, he put in a, you know, a generator that if power goes off. Can you hear the thing running?
Yeah, but it's not loud. You can hear it running, but
where is it?
TV.
Where is it?
It's just outside, and it
outside.
Yeah,
so it doesn't
run on natural gas, propane, diesel. I mean, you can get them
okay.
Anyway. We talk about anything on this show, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I mean, it's just something, you know.
Hey, which a nice compliment paid to us, I have to say, by, and
yeah.
This is what made me think of it,
yeah.
By Cindy, and what was her last name? It just won.
Cindy Edwards, wasn't it?
Cindy Edwards.
It wasn't Cindy the Blood. It wasn't
right.
Cindy the
Bloodhound.
The Bloodhound, Cindy.
But she picked up her moolah money.
Yeah.
And said that
congratulations
she,
to her.
Enjoyed listening to us. And in fact, I think she said she enjoyed listening to us go back and forth.
Oh.
Said she wasn't much of a sports fan,
uh-huh.
But I guess.
She enjoys the argument.
Us arguing with each other. Yeah, is entertaining.
Like either one of, like we mean it, you know.
Yeah.
Like we leave mad.
Well, sometimes we do.
Sometimes.
I know the night you throw gravel all over my truck out there.
That's because you're talking about, Alabama.
Yeah,
yeah. I know. That's exactly right. Well, you deserved it.
Speaking of Alabama, I've got to ask you something, and it's been burning in my soul.
Oh, no, here we go again.
What is going on, and I've got this question for Dan. What is going on with the Alabama coaching staff? You know, we talked about Thompson going to Auburn.
He was, from my understanding, what I've heard, he was asked, or he was shown the door.
Okay, he was shown the door.
Yeah.
They lose, who was it?
Kevin Steele went as a defensive coordinator.
And now Kiffin could be headed
to
San Francisco.
I was going to ask you, what do you think about that? I heard it the other day, and I blame the – if I was looking for an offensive coordinator somewhere, would I look at Lane Kiffin? Absolutely.
Right.
You got to give the guy credit where credit is due. Now, you know, we can sit here and debate it and talk about it and – means nothing, but I guess what he's got to decide is this in his best interest? And, it's one of those things I want to ask Greg about when we get him on there because he's on the West Coast.
Ask Jason about it right now.
Okay.
Because Jason has an opinion
okay.
about that.
All right, Jason, what do you think about Lane Kiffin going to the 49ers as their offensive coordinator?
I think as dumb as some of his moves have been, he will probably do it. But his best move is no question to stay where he's at under Nick Saban.
I agree.
He stays there two or three years. He's right back in the mix for a head coaching job at the collegiate level, if not the NFL level. He goes to San Francisco and is a flop under who knows what. I mean, the way they trade players and coaches, the coach telling.
That is a volatile world in the NFL.
Why would he want to leave Alabama after – been given the golden ticket.
Yeah. Here's the kicker.
Has said that he has become very – he was already difficult to work for.
Yeah.
And this year he became more difficult to work for. So that may be
– Oh, Saban was more difficult to work for.
And losses will do that.
They will.
I mean, I would be the same way.
Losses will definitely do that. You're exactly right. You know, they only lost two games there and – it certainly was for, you know, they ended up getting beat by 7, but I never thought the game, it wasn't that close after they were up 21-6. I think they got spanked the rest of the way. And I'm an Alabama fan, but you got to tell it like it is. They got, I think they got outplayed, they got outworked, they got out physical, they got out coached.
Right.
They got out everything, in my mind.
Oh, yeah. And
so do you think Kiffin stays or goes?
I don't
buy, sell, or hold. You got to pick.
I'm going to say.
Do, 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 do.
Am I buying and he's going?
Whatever you always do.
I'm saying he leaves. I say he goes to.
You're buying it then.
San Fran. I think his home's in California.
Seems like I've heard a song by that before.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Doesn't he make about $600,000 at Tuscaloosa?
Yep.
Have you seen any numbers of what he's been offered?
No, and that would
you can
play
be rest assured
that would play
it's
important.
Going to be a lot more than $600,000 as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. I I don't know. I don't know what those guys make. We might could, you know, Mike could look it up here in a little bit, but wouldn't you think? Look, if Auburn's paying Muschamp, what, 1.5? Is that about right?
Yeah. He's getting, I think it's $1.6 million okay. with a $100,000 a year raise okay. for the next 3 years.
Okay, so if Auburn's paying their defensive coordinator that, don't you think the San Francisco 49ers would be paying it the minimum that, if not more than that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what if they offered, what if it was you, and you're making $600,000 in Tuscaloosa, and you are from the West Coast, and the San Francisco 49ers offer you $2 million. What you going to do?
Hey, I was gone yesterday if they offered me $2 million.
Okay, $1.5 million.
Same thing.
You're gone.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Exactly right.
But.
Do you want to rethink your choice?
No, I said he goes.
Oh, you said he goes. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
But I still say, in the big scheme of thing, in the long run, he's better off to stay under Nick Saban at Alabama.
That's the safer place to be.
Right.
My next question.
He could go to San Francisco and spend one season, two seasons, and be done.
Yeah, but let's think of it like this too, Jason. All right, he goes to San Francisco and makes a ton more money. Living in California, he's always also going to pay the government a ton of more money than he is in Alabama too.
Oh yeah.
I mean that's. Right. I mean that's, you know, I know that may be a little bit ticky, but it's still true.
Yeah, there.
I mean,
they're
taxing you to death.
Yeah, there is actually professional ball players who play in California,
yeah.
but reside outside of California to prevent paying.
Absolutely.
The state taxes.
Absolutely. So. I don't know. My next question would be, and probably the single most important question of all of them, Jason, and the one thing that we have not mentioned that I think is the most important factor. You don't know what it is?
What's that?
What does Miss Kiffin want to do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Because there's the bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah, if I ain't happy, there ain't nobody
you
happy.
You got that right. Dennis Franchione, he was doing well at Tuscaloosa. I mean,
right.
And but his wife didn't like Tuscaloosa, so they're gone.
Hey.
Yes?
Ronnie.
Okay.
Just a little teaser announcement we want to make. We will be at the county tournament. The county tournament is going to be starting Saturday.
Yeah. After we come back from a break, we'll also go through and kind of tell who's playing Saturday.
Yeah, we'll have to hurry because we got Greg at 4:25. So.
Okay, well, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll do it later after.
Yeah, we will do it.
Before the show's over.
We're not going to tell everybody right now exactly what we're going to be doing at the county tournament. But we will be at the county tournament.
Yeah.
And I will go as far as tell you this. We won't be doing play-by-play.
You do know that, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that is covered. And
yeah.
We're going to take another route to it. So stay tuned. We'll let you in on a little more information today. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be something new for the county tournament.
That's a great idea.
Just stay with us, and we're going to
have some fun. We'll clue you in as we go.
Right.
Hey, speaking of that, we've got about 2 more minutes. Do we have Moolah? Is Moolah going to be back in play this week?
Moolah is not hidden, but it will be.
By the time we want to give a clue.
By the time we give a clue.
All right. So get your pen and your paper and get ready for some clues after a while. And see if you can win another
$50 from People's Bank.
Thank goodness for People's.
I'm telling you,
we couldn't have it without People's Bank. That's for sure.
All right, 4:18. So we're close to a break. If Jay will take us on out of here, we will try to make contact with Greg and get this show under
on the road.
Somebody in here that knows what they're talking about. I mean, you've talked about everything.
We talked about generators, milk, and bread.
We'll be right back with Greg Smith, onlybestbets.com. You're listening to Sports Talk Live, Thursday edition.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee. And for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Colbin, just south of the Catholic Church.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Michael's Flowers and Design in Coleman is your one-stop flower shop for any occasion, now carrying fine wine and craft beer. Michael's Flowers and Design is located in downtown Coleman next to Berkeley Bob's Coffee House, now also hosting special events and wine tasting. Our beautiful store is located at 302 First Avenue Southeast. We can be reached at 256-841-5553 or online at michaelsflowersanddesign.com.
There's no need to look at the screen. You know, it's all automated around here.
All right. Back with you, 421, and it's Thursday, so one of our favorite people to talk
That's
to,
right.
Greg
Man's
Smith.
Man's made you some money.
That's right, and anybody that makes me money,
you
gotta love them. No, you don't like them. You
love them.
People
okay,
that make
I got
you,
money. You. I got you, man.
Hey, Greg, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Hello, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, we're great.
Hey, Greg.
It is a little cool and raining here, and I bet where you are, it's probably, what, 70 degrees?
Well, not quite, about 65, but yeah, that's pretty close, 65, a little bit of overcast, but it's still golfing weather, so
you hurt me with that one.
Man, we were out last year for the national championship game in Pasadena, and while we were there enjoying 70-degree weather here at home, it had got down to like 5 degrees and even close to zero, and I tell you, I was proud to be in California at that time. So.
Oh, man.
Makes it all worth it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Hey, Greg, tell us what your thoughts about this past weekend, man, the games. The Packers blow a 16-0 lead and stick it in the end zone to save their life. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that it was, it was entertaining. I mean, the last 3 minutes of that game was really spectacular. You look at that game, and I just can't believe it's just unfortunate because the Packers really had the opportunity to just, you know, a couple of times to put the door shut on those guys, and they didn't do it. And a little bit unlucky, I think, there, obviously. And Seattle's a little, you know, quite lucky to be moving on, but I didn't see that. I actually had Seattle winning that game handily. The spread got to about -8, -9 at the end of the day, and I had Seattle covering that, so I was a little surprised.
Right.
Oh, Green Bay just absolutely blew it. I don't remember a playoff game that was just absolutely blown like the Packers did. I mean, I just sat there with my mouth open.
Yeah.
So hey, Greg? What about the Patriots drilling the Colts? What'd you think about that one?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too because I thought the Colts keep that a lot closer than they did, and it just didn't. You know, the Patriots are. You know, that's the thing too. Is that you get these things that happen like these turnovers. Like last year, you know, when Denver had that snap over Peyton's head. The first play of the game, it just in those big games like this, it can be a snowball effect. And, you know, when the Colts fumbled that kickoff, right, or the punt, and kicked in the face mask and hit the grass, and then it was fumbled and recovered by the Patriots, it just seemed to be a snowball effect, and the Colts just couldn't quite get their feet underneath them. And, you know, that's where you find the route. You find the route of 45-7 or
yeah,
what it was.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was very, very ugly. And you said it best. They were never, you know, in the ball game after the Patriots got rolling just a little bit. It was over. But Greg, I guess probably the reason the Patriots won by the amount they did was because they were playing with the deflated football. So, hey, what's your take on that?
Well, I don't know, really. I mean, the Patriots have done such, you know, and by the way, you know, Belichick is a great coach, obviously, and he's done great things, and he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. But boy, he's really got to get away from this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
This Spygate stuff, and now this happened. But, you know, you hear other players around the league, and this isn't actually the first time this has kind of been talked about. You know, I read some Aaron Rodgers had some things with his ball and stuff, and then some other incidences where in the Super Bowl they were trying to pay him I forget who it was paying him $1,500 or $15,000 to keep the ball a little bit more deflated. This isn't the first time it's happened, but you know, it is something to where, you know, the Patriots have got to start playing by the rules a little bit, or at least not get caught so much. Because I don't think they're tampering with a dynasty.
They need to be better cheaters, don't they?
Yeah, I guess they do. So, and apparently what I read is that a lot of these leagues all do what they can do. All can do what they can get away with.
Sure.
And if the penalties aren't going to be that high, then they're going to go ahead and do it, right? And they're going to go until the penalties meet the criteria of what they're doing, then you're going to see people, you know, at the risk and reward
right.
is there to do that. And they'll do it until it's not worth it anymore.
Exactly. But, you know, how much the Patriots, the Colts, you know, you're not hearing really anything from them because, I mean, you just got beat, you know, 44-7. If the Patriots had never thrown the football, they still would have drilled you.
Yeah, they definitely got their butts kicked.
Oh, absolutely.
The Colts, Andrew Luck is a great quarterback, and he'll get his day. You know, I mean, all those quarterbacks, you know, from Brady on through, they all have their moments of getting to the playoffs, getting beat good, getting back to the playoffs, getting beat good. I mean, you don't just go in the playoffs and expect to just, you know, get to the Super Bowl. You got to kind of beat a little bit, get familiar with the playoffs, and then, you know, your day will come. I see Andrew Luck winning probably multiple Super Bowls, and so I don't think he's sweating right now at home. I think he sees a bright future for him.
I agree. I mean, he has been a great pick for the Colts, as opposed to, you know, RG3 with the Redskins. That hasn't gone so well.
No, that hasn't. I think the Colts are very happy.
Oh, don't you know? Absolutely.
Hey, Greg, we touched on the Patriots and how they this is not the first time they've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar. And, you know, I was listening to a couple of different sports talk programs this morning, and now they are just referred to basically as cheaters, the cheaters of the NFL. What do you think it's going to take, other than keeping their nose clean, to change that image? Is it going to take a coaching change before this will change, or what do you think?
Well, Kraft is not going to change his coach. I mean, you're not going
to. Oh no! Yeah, you're not going to get rid of him.
No. I mean, you can do all you want as long as they're winning Super Bowls. That is not going to change. Maybe like the old saying, "Time heals all wounds," kind of thing. Everyone kind of forgot about Spygate until this incident comes up, and everything just gets refreshed again. So I think that they're going to have to not have these little incidents happen. And it's unfortunate because, you know, when media day comes here next week for the Super Bowl, it's going to be flooded. Every player is going to be flooded with those questions about the balls.
Yeah.
And so, it's just going to be it's unfortunate. But, yeah, I think that it's like you just said and done, but the Patriots have got to just not get caught.
Hey, would it not be hilarious, Greg, if, you know, at Belichick, you know, he's such a great person to interview. You know, he's so articulate that if he showed up at his press conference and had a hand pump with him, that just would crack me up.
Hey, Greg, if you remember
today, and I didn't see it.
Oh, I didn't either.
If you remember last year, the national championship game, Jimbo Fisher and Florida State accused Auburn of stealing their signals the first half. Now, here's the part that doesn't make sense. They were doing it. Damian Craig was on the Florida State staff the year before. If you're not smart enough to change your signals,
you deserve to have them stolen.
To me, stealing signals is part of the game.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
What's your
thoughts? Absolutely. And that's part of the gamesmanship. Absolutely. And that's all fair and love and breakfast as far as my concern. I mean, you got to be able to, if they're smart enough to figure out, it's like counting cards and playing blackjack. If you're smart enough to figure out, by your skills of what the card's going to be next, you should not be penalized for your skills as long as it's within the rules and no one gets hurt.
That's it.
You know, there may be some mothers that pass out when I say this, but Ronnie and I coached our sons when they were probably 7, 8-year-old, 9, 10-year-old playing baseball. And even at that age, we were looking for signals the other team when they were bunting or they were stealing or whatever.
Sure.
Any advantage we could get, we were going to get it.
And we needed it.
Yeah.
Oh man!
Yeah, there you go. I mean, anything to get a little upper hand, as long as it's within the confines of the rules. And there's nothing saying in baseball you can't try to figure out someone's signals of whether stealing or button or hitting or whatever. And the same thing with football as far as the signals go. But it does say in the rules you have to use a ball at a certain pound and blah blah blah. So there's apples and oranges.
Oh yeah. I got one more for you, and then I'm going to let Ronnie ask you about one of his favorite people.
Oh, I know what's coming with that.
We're off this weekend, and the old Super Bowl rolls around. The last time I looked, I think the Patriots a 1-point favorite. How do you feel about that line?
Well, I have a position, that's for sure, and I have no problem giving out my position because typically in these high profile games, Super Bowls, national championships, and whatnot, people are going to come up with their own conclusion, and they're gonna do their own play. They don't need someone telling them, because I think a lot of people think that they got it all figured out, and they want their imprint, their fingerprint, to be on this one game that everyone's gonna be watching. So I have no problem with telling my position, and my position is basically first of all, it's Seattle. Seattle's the right side all the way on this. Now, it's a matter of how much I'm going to be willing to go all in on. I mean, is it a 10 being the best play in Super Bowl history, or is it more like a 1 and just kind of, go light on the play? I will say this right now. I'm tampering with an 8 or a 9. I think it's a very good matchup for Seattle. Seattle's oddsmakers came in at -3. Just as the games ended, and then the public pushed that all the way to pick them, and now it's crept up to -1 and -2 to New England. So, and by the way, the odds makers here, this is their Super Bowl too, guys. I mean, this is where they make their money, and for them, they cannot screw up these. This is lines that they have to be very good at, because it gets bet. It's the most bet game there is in of the year. So, this number is sharp. So when oddsmakers come in and put it at -3 to Seattle, and that line moves that way because the public has so much money is coming in on that, and they have to move it. What I'm thinking is my thought process is a couple of things. Is one, if the oddsmakers have it at -3, and that's the numbers that they have, that's the sharp numbers they have, and they have to move it unwillingly because there's so much money coming in on the Patriots. I'm looking at this as a 4 or 5 point value. I'll tell you another thing, too. This is very similar to Ohio State in the Oregon Ducks. I mean, everyone saw Oregon Ducks whip the Florida State high-flying offense, la, la, la. And then you have someone like Ohio State, who was more of a defensive team and played well in the trenches. This is the same sort of situation. It happened last year in the Super Bowl when Seattle beat the number one offense. Not just the number one offense, guys. The best offense the NFL's ever seen.
Right.
That was a huge, I can't remember who it was. Now, I said this on the radio at one of the other radio stations 2 days ago. I can't remember who the Hall of Fame coach was, but I remember this, and I wrote this down. It was like 3 years ago, and I wrote this down. It was an interview, and the guy goes, the Hall of Fame coach says, the number one thing, that when you have a number one defense or a really good defense, they win championships because a defense is always going to come out ahead and be more consistent when they have time to prepare. You give a defense 2 weeks to prepare for a game, you're going to get more consistency from that defensive team, and it's just tougher. It's tougher for good offenses to be consistent because you think about it. You know, you have the quarterback has to snap it, or the center has to snap it to the quarterback. He has to get that. He has to drop back. He has to pass. Now he has to rely on the receiver to catch the ball. I mean, there's so many different variables that go into this. And the defense just has to be in certain zones at certain places at certain times. Do your job, like Belichick says. So I think that the Seattle, with the defense they have, is going to be a big deal come next week. Keep in mind, guys, that the Packers only scored one touchdown. Guys, they got the ball twice, one in the on the 18-yard line on a fumble and a interception that was brought all the way to the 3 or 4 yard line, and they could only get field goals out of it.
Right.
I mean, other than the 5 turnovers, the anomaly that Seattle had on the offensive side, Seattle actually dominated the game from a defensive perspective. They did. They really did.
Yeah. I agree.
So
with
I'm looking at this game, and I like Seattle.
Hey, Greg, one more thing. I lied when I said I had one more the last time. But this is one more thing, then I'm going to let Ronnie have it. But tell us, we know you can bet on the game. You can bet on quarters. You can bet on the coin toss. Tell us a couple of things that people might not realize that you can bet when it comes to the Super Bowl. I mean, you name it just about, and you can bet on it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they get kind of crazy with some of this. I thought I don't get involved in too many prop bets. I don't get involved in prop bets, but I did see a couple of them that came out of whether or not Belichick was going to have a hood. Katy Perry, right? She's the halftime person who's going to sing. So whether or not she was going to wear a dress, a skirt, jeans or whatnot, they haven't had things like that. you know, the thing that the sports book have got hammered on these last 2 years is safeties. There's been safeties in each of the last 2 Super Bowls. And you can bet that whether there's going to be a safety in the game. And the odds are astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because it doesn't happen very often.
Right.
Well, it broke the bank to those sports books when those 2 safeties happened. Well, last year it happened with the Seahawks and the Broncos. And then the year before they had a safety as well. So there are a few out there that do hit. And the sports books will hold their breath, make sure it doesn't happen. So.
Hey, Greg, I'm dying to ask this question and get your take and what you're hearing. You know, from Birmingham to San Francisco is about a 3-hour flight. Do you think is Lane Kiffin going to be on the plane headed to San Francisco? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and I'm getting tired of talking about Lane Kiffin too. I mean, you'd think the guy would just figure out a way to just lay low for one season.
I mean, we're talking about Lane Kiffin.
Next week on Sports Talk Live, here guest Lane Kiffin. Yeah, we're kidding.
And I'm going to get on my soapbox just for 3 seconds here, and I'll shut up, all right? But listen, I mean, the guy's been given every opportunity in the world, going from pro football to the likes of Tennessee over to USC,
right,
the whole 9 yards. He's burned every bridge he's ever been to. He's there because of his father as a defensive genius.
Exactly.
And, and Pat Hayden, who's the most respected athletic director in the country, gosh, he's on the commission team or on the committee for the Final Four for football. You know, he got rid of him. And then you have someone like Nick Saban, a guy that took a chance on him, you know, didn't listen to all the noise, and brought him over to say, hey, I believe in you. You're going to be my offensive coordinator. And I just got a problem with this. You know, if Kiffin has a problem with Saban, tough luck.
Right.
Well, we all go through bosses we don't like. We all have things. Just go get through it. You know, once you learn something from the guy, I mean, he only has 4 national championships.
Yeah.
You know, he's only been married to the same wife for the last 43 years. I mean, the guy shows commitment. He shows dedication. He shows work ethic. Learn something from 5 years with the guy. Then go somewhere else. I'm not liking this. I don't like this whole
conversation. I have just preached the same sermon, Greg.
So, you know, I think you can learn a lot. I think that I will say this, guys. I do think he has a certain craft. I think that he's actually pretty good at being an offensive coordinator. But he needs the right the right mentoring, I believe, to become that head coach that he's trying to be. And so he's been given too much too fast, and it's just not working. He needs to settle down and learn a little bit more, and then he can go venture off. If he does this will be. He won't find another coaching job in college football if he does this. I don't think.
I agree. We both. What you're saying exactly what Jason and I were talking about before. Before you ever came on with us, and Jason, he hit a nail right on the head when he said, you know, Kiffin, he ought to stay. He needs to stay right where he is. And, I agree. You know, whether he does or not, that's a different story. So, hey, forget about Kiffin. Let's get on to something else. I know you love and I love, and that's NCAA basketball. Tell me, what are you seeing out there right now? I got several questions. Do you think Kentucky, are they good enough to run the table, or is the rest of the basketball in the country, you know, not all that great? And just give us your take on NCAA basketball right now.
I think they're good enough to run the table. I just they're inexperienced. Their youth concerns me a little bit. It's something that Kentucky has to deal with every single year. You know, Calipari has something that he always gets these young guys, these freshmen who are one and done players. And so it's something he has to deal with every single year to get them playing as a team. And usually he can get that done before he gets into the tournament. The thing that's kind of going for him is the SEC isn't as strong as it's been in the past. There are a couple of teams they should be aware of. But you know, they've almost slipped now twice to Texas A&M and Vanderbilt, I think.
Ole Miss took them to overtime too.
And Ole Miss took them to overtime too. So there you go. So now, you know, you got three teams now inside their own conference that have taken to the wire. So
right.
I do, and I was the first to say this too. I thought they were gonna, you know, get all the way through undefeated, but now, you know, I think they're probably gonna slip somewhere in there. And probably not be undefeated getting into the tournament.
Well, they are immensely talented, though, aren't they?
Oh, they got nine All-American.
Exactly.
Nine All-American players on this team, so they're great.
Yeah, and you have to give Calipari all the credit in the world that he can put them in he can put the best players in the country, in the Kentucky blue. I mean, he does it every single year.
Yeah, he does a good job. He does a good job of mentoring those kids, at least the time he has with them, to get them to play a certain style in a certain way. And because you got to realize, you know, those kids know where they're going in 12 months. And so you got a lot of egos you got to kind of gather around. You know, it's tough to get them to think as a unit. And he does a good job of that. But he does struggle, though, in the beginning of the season, getting them to think that way, and particularly in early on in the conference season or conference schedule. So, we'll see what happens, but I think they do slip up before they get to the March Madness.
I got you. Hey, just a couple more questions. I haven't seen Virginia play. I don't know whether you have. I know they're sitting there ranked number two. Do you know anything about them? I mean, are they solid? I really like Bennett, their head coach. I mean, he's the real deal.
Yeah, Tony Bennett's actually my favorite basketball coach out there.
I agree.
His old man Dick Bennett was the master of defense.
Yes.
He was with Wisconsin, and then went on to Washington State, and that's where Tony actually took over, was at Washington State, and took Washington State to two NCAA tournaments. So he's just a master of the defensive side, and like I said before, I just talked about the Super Bowl, how defense just wins games, because you can tire, especially in basketball, because you can tire your opponents down on the offensive end. And it creates a problem on the defense end. Defense leads to offense. And this is what he has preached the entire time he's been at Virginia, and quite frankly, his entire coaching career. So, yes, Virginia's good. Virginia actually was good last year, too. They had that Harris kid, Joe Harris, that was actually a really good, three-point shooter and a good point guard at times. He was actually a two-guard, if you will. But he has the players to get it done.
Right.
And I like Virginia. I don't think Virginia's going to get through undefeated because they're playing in the ACC.
Sure.
So it's going to get tough. But I'll tell you, come basket, come tournament time, be very, very aware of Virginia.
Exactly. Hey, I want to ask you one more. I want to ask you about UCLA out there on the West Coast, and Steve Alford is there. Kentucky absolutely destroyed them. And then I think I watched them play against Alabama, and I think they beat Alabama or they're at the end of the game. I don't even remember. They're not a very good ball club, I don't think. Are you hearing anything about UCLA out that way or Steve Alford, either one?
Well, I mean, they definitely slipped up. You know, they're a young team. They're a lot like Kentucky. They're young, and they have some really good players on that team, but they're freshmen. So he's going through the same sort of growing pains that Kentucky's kind of going through. It's just that Kentucky just has a much talented squad, much talented roster. So, but they are actually starting to play a little better now. They beat Stanford. I think they have Oregon State tonight. So they're starting to kind of get in the conference play. They're starting to win some games. I see UCLA being in the top three, top four in the Pac-12.
Okay.
And moving on to the conference tournament for sure.
Oh, okay. Great.
Hey, Greg, man, we kept you a little overtime once again. You're going to have to start charging us for this overtime. So.
No problem.
We appreciate it.
I always enjoy talking sports.
And I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll be talking to you next week when it's time for the Super Bowl, and there's no telling what will be happening by then with the Patriots. Who knows? They may be stealing Girl Scout cookies by then. So.
I hear you. Okay, right. Guys, well, you guys take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. See you, bud.
Bye-bye.
All right.
That's the man.
Hey, he's always
onlybestbest.com.
That's it. Look him up, and if you're interested in entertainment purposes only.
That's the key word.
That is the
entertainment purpose only.
That is the way to entertain yourself, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, if you're on the winning side.
We'll be right back. Another guest, Dan Vosta.
And Dan the man.
Once again today, we're going to buy, sell, or hold.
So. There you go.
And don't forget, county tournament. We'll be there. Announcement coming later.
Yeah.
You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman, Alabama.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-da-bum, bum, bum, bum.
AK Rentals has been serving Coleman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, and Saturday till noon, 734-0038. 734-0038.
Is your paycheck slipping away in insurance premiums? Let Alpha Insurance show you how to tackle savings with rewards and discounts for loyal customers. Save even more when you bundle your home, car, and life insurance with Alpha. Plus, you'll get friendly service from the hometown team right here in Coleman. That would be Cynthia Phillips, reachable at 256-734-1224, or stop by and pay her a visit behind Sonic Drive-In at 216 Compass Way Southwest. You can also send her an email, cphillips@alphains.com.
All right, Sports Talk Live. Let's give out the number. We're yet to give that out. 256-737-9951. But, yeah, don't call us right now. We're just giving it out for the heck of it.
That's it. Write it down. You call later.
We are attempting to get in contact with Dan Vosta, Dr. Knowledge, the man of knowledge.
That's it. From Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, campus insider. And, folks, If you get a chance, check out Campus Insider online, and you'll see what kind of outfit this guy works for.
It's impressive.
Oh, yeah. They know every stat from size to jockey size.
That's well said.
You didn't see that one.
I didn't see that one coming. No, that one hit me right between the eyes.
No telling where this show
You got that right. But, the thing that impressed me about Dan, you can ask him anything. And it's just like he's got the notes in front of him.
Right.
You know, he's an Einstein of sports knowledge.
Oh, yeah. And as we've said many times,
he's a Johnny Thornton on steroids.
Yeah, you can ask him the score of the Oklahoma-Nebraska game, 1982. Not only will he tell you the score, but the weather conditions, where it was played, and what color they were wearing.
That's it. So he just amazes me.
Me too. I can't hardly remember how to get to work in the morning. So, anyway, I guess we bragged on him enough now.
He's with us. I know he is.
Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Thursday to you.
Hey, same to you, Dan.
Hey, Dan, I've got to ask you now that we've already said it. Did you hear all the bragging we were doing on you?
I heard about it. Appreciate you guys. It's a little too much, but I appreciate it.
Hey, you make us old country boys look pretty bad, but hey, we're glad to have you. let's go ahead and right off the bat, let's talk about this past weekend. The Packers packed it up. I mean, that's pretty much all you can say. The Packers packed it up, couldn't get it in the end zone, and suffered defeat. And then talk a little about the deflate gate, they're calling it, with the Patriots, 45-7 winners over the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, up until the last maybe 24 hours or so, I kind of still don't think too much of it, but certainly I wouldn't rule out, you know, a fine potential loss of draft picks out of the question. I think that would be fairly reasonable, despite there still being kind of some answers have, you know, some questions that haven't been answered. And I think you mentioned Belichick and obviously Brady talked today. They were said, of course, that they were unaware of it, like most anticipated, thought that they were. Some were a little bit surprised, perhaps, that they thought they would perhaps tell the truth, potentially. We still don't know the full deal that this has, you know, gotten way too much talk, but it's the year 2015, kind of the drama that's unfolded in this whole thing is kind of something you would maybe see on The Bachelor. But, certainly the Pats won their game, obviously, and many made jokes about it, regardless of what they played. Regardless of how that game second half started, it was complete domination from first quarter.
Yeah, they could have played with a Nerf football, and it wouldn't have mattered.
Yes, I think so. I think Colts were just lucky to kind of be there, in my opinion, even though there are teams down the road that could be very fortunate with Andrew Luck. But the overall grand scheme of things is we kind of wait and see if anything more unfolds. But at the moment, we're kind of just waiting for the Super Bowl to occur. But certainly, this isn't the first time where something like this has come up with the Patriots. Not shocked by that any means. I don't think it really mattered. Obviously, in that past game, could in a bigger game, perhaps, that was closer. But I think it's kind of just wait and see if anything more happens, not just revolving this, but revolving around the New England Patriots, whether it's Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. I think that's kind of just the way it is right now. We'll see if anything occurs to this, but I don't really think this takes, personally, in my opinion, too much away from the team. They've always been kind of in the fold, teetering, if you will, on certain things of aspects. But you know what? Some people are going to love him regardless, and some people are going to hate him regardless. I don't think this, in my opinion, made too much of a difference. Kind of a little bit of a head scratcher because on all the details has kind of been ironed out. But nonetheless, they've been one of the more successful franchises in the last decade plus. So I don't think that this particular moment takes too much away from them. But certainly, it's going to keep the trolls coming, and going to fans of their own are going to be cheering for them even more at the Super Bowl. Certainly, this even hypes the game up more. If they were to lose this game, I think that will hurt them out quite a bit. And obviously, if they were to win this game, then obviously you're looking at four Super Bowls for Mr. Brady and Belichick.
Exactly. Hey, Dan, you know, certainly we probably are all in agreement that Green Bay basically blew an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. My question to you is, what played the biggest factor in that? Is it the Seattle defense, or was it Aaron Rodgers' calf injury?
I think a little bit of both. I think down the stretch, the Seattle defense, you know, did everything they were asked to do to stay in the ball game. But we see in college football a lot, especially in bowl games, where we've seen comebacks. But just because you're up double figures, or 15 points or 16 points at halftime, doesn't mean that you're dominating the game, even though, you know, it was a pretty much domination for that first half, but they should have been up close to 35 points. But Russell Wilson playing as bad as he could. Certainly Aaron Rodgers was not the same. He was not 100% healthy, but he's still probably a top five quarterback, top 10 quarterback, even with one leg, if you want to go that far. But he can't kick two field goals to the 1 yard line. I was a little surprised they only threw it once. Before the game-time field goal that sent the game to overtime, Green Bay had 2 3-and-outs. One led to a touchdown, and, of course, the onside kick and led to an 8-point drive. Only one throw on those 6 offensive plays. You got the NFL MVP, more than likely, in Aaron Rodgers. I think you got to throw it at least half the time, even if you're up 15 points, because we've seen in a happy offense, a pass-happy football, college and NFL league, where comebacks are kind of the norm now. You got to be up 20-plus points to kind of be able to take a breath, and even then you just don't know, especially in college. So I was a little surprised they didn't throw the ball more. Props to Seattle defense for loading the box up and forcing Eddie Lacy to go backwards on a few of those carries because it was 9-10 man fronts. But Seattle made the big plays in the passing game. They don't have any big-time receivers, and yet they made the big plays when they needed to. Against the Green Bay defense, that probably played its best game of the year defensively up until that final 2 drives that Seattle had. And it was unfortunate because you kick 2 field goals against defending champs. Even if you force turnovers, sometimes it hits you in the rear end. And it certainly did because Green Bay choked. And many points, many plays you could point to. But certainly that 2-point conversion, which is pretty much a Hail Mary, was kind of when it stood out to me more so than the onside kick and many other plays that Seattle made with their receivers and passing offense. So just an unforgettable day for Seattle, and very much so forgettable, will probably be unforgettable for many Green Bay fans.
Exactly. Hey, moving on to the Super Bowl, Dan, with the Patriots and the Seahawks. Right now, I think Patriots are sitting there at a 1-point favorite. In your opinion, do you think that line is on target, or are they off target? Or where do you think it may end up?
Yeah, I don't think it will move too much. I'd be a little surprised if it got to more than, say, 2.5. In favor of New England. I don't know if it was a mistake, because I know Seattle jumped out as slight favorites. Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman, of course, played dinged up in their final games, but they're going to be, of course, ready to go. I think more people like New England in this type of scenario where they've been there, done that, despite losing their last 2 Super Bowls. But I think it's pretty much like a pick'em game. I kind of thought about, I give a slight lean to New England overall, but we saw last year how good New England can be when, Seattle can get what their defense has turned into. You know, their defense makes their offense probably a top 5, top 10 offense in the league. And it struggled the last 2 games, a Green Bay team that showed up, and Carolina might have one of the better defenses in the NFL, and Seattle still found ways to put points on the board with a late pick 6. So, pretty back and forth, I'm sure. I would like to think that most people would be 50-50 split on who they think is going to win as well as the line. So, this is going to be going back and forth, and most people, you might not see a change till maybe hours or the day of course, the Super Bowl. That's kind of when you see your people down in the desert and those people that like to toss a few coins around. That's
right.
Kind of when the biggest things change, is the day and hours leading up to the game. So I don't think we'll see too much of a change depending on if any injuries change on opinions or the injury report. But I think it's going to be right around where it's at right now. Slight favorite for New England. I like their chances of right now of winning that Super Bowl. I think it's going to be, should be a classic game. So I think this is kind of what many people wanted. I didn't think we'd see chalk, 1-versus-1 seeds, but we saw that, and it should be a great game.
I got you. Hey, moving on, still in pro football, but want to move into Peyton Manning, get your opinion on that. It's been reported that he's about to go through a physical, and if he's cleared, if his physical's good, it looks like he's going to play next season. In your opinion, you think that's a good choice, or do you think that's a bad choice?
Oh, certainly a good choice when he's healthy. I think he's still a top 5 quarterback when healthy. Certainly that was not the case the last 6 games or so, and the numbers reflected upon that. And I think Denver, in my books, will probably be the number one favorites to win the Super Bowl next year. And that's with a big asterisk with Peyton Manning's health. But I think he's arguably the greatest that's ever played the position in NFL history. And I think if he can get back to 100% and stay healthy, which is going to be quite the challenge coming off this season.
Right.
But, I mean, he's had many injuries, severe injuries with his neck, of course, in the past. And he overcame and had the greatest season in NFL history last year, arguably. And I would never count him out. And it helps that have a new coaching staff. Gary Kubiak should help them. And you still have Demaryius Thomas, top five receiver. Other solid pieces of Julius Thomas. He missed most of the year, played, but was playing injured. It was nowhere near the same. So it's always a lot of luck involved in a bunch of sports, especially the NFL. And you got to stay healthy for you to, to succeed and be productive. And that was not the case down the stretch. So I think it was a good choice. And I think he's got a good chance to get a chance to win the Super Bowl next season.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Dan. The buy, sell, and hold we done last week went over so well. I think we're going to make it a regular feature. So get a little interaction between you and Ronnie here. Are you ready to buy, sell, or hold today?
Yes, I am buying the segment.
All right. I hear you. And for those who might not have heard last week, you should have heard last week.
Oh, you should have.
But if you didn't, I give Ronnie and Dan a thought, and it's just like the stock market. They buy it if they like it, believe it. They sell it if they don't like it or think there's no truth to it, and they hold it. And y'all don't hold very often. Y'all usually buy or sell, but if they really don't have a good feel for it one way or another, they'll hold. So, Dan, we'll start with you since you are our guest. If the Patriots win the Super Bowl, Tom Brady will be viewed as one of the top three quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Buy, sell, or hold?
Yeah, I'm going to buy that. I think he, in my personal book, only be behind Joe Montana, slightly ahead of Peyton Manning, if he were to win this game, and if nothing else, bad way nightmare happens with just the Deflategate, which I don't think is too much talk other than social media and it being the year 2015. So, yes, I will buy that if he wins his fourth Super Bowl.
All right.
Ronnie. To me, I agree with Dan. I'm buying that as well. If you're sitting there and you got four Super Bowl rings, what else do you need to show?
It's hard to argue with that.
It's kind of like the commercial you saw with Bo and Flutie and them, and they're talking, giving the Heisman pose, and Montana holds up, his five fingers, and he's got rings on every one of them. So there's no substitute for that Super Bowl ring, so I'm buying that too.
No, y'all are buying all that stuff.
That's it.
Okay, Ronnie, to you, if Peyton Manning returns next season, he will end the season with a better QB rating than his brother Eli.
I'm selling it.
You're selling it.
I'm taking Eli just because of, Dan can tell me the first name, Beckham Jr., who can catch anything that's thrown anywhere. So I'm just going to say he's going to have a better QB rating because he's going to be surrounded by better people. What about that?
Well, that sounds fair enough to me. About you, Dan?
Yeah, I don't disagree too much. I'm going to disagree here. I'm going to buy, and I don't think it's going to be that close. So I'm going to favor Peyton Manning. You said passer rating, so obviously we could break it down in different stats. But, I mean, Peyton Manning finished in the top five the last 3 years. Eli Manning has not finished higher than 14th the last 3 years. So in terms of passer rating, it's kind of like a knockout punch first round where Peyton gets the huge edge. But I will tell you that, ODGB, Odell Green Beckham, is certainly quite the receiver that Eli Manning has. But he threw, 25, 27 picks 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Obviously didn't have him 2 years ago, but was just barely ranked in the top 15 this year with him. Even if Victor Cruz comes back really healthy, I still like Peyton Manning in the AFC West, but the NFC East might be the worst division defensively in football, but numbers speak for itself. So no disrespect towards Eli, but Peyton, obviously, for me at least, in a separate category of the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees.
All right. We got a buy and a sell.
That's it. So
y'all can swap up on that one then.
I'm sure he'll end up winning it, too.
All right. Number three, back to Dan. Cam Newton has yet to prove he is worth the millions he is being paid by Carolina, so it's time to trade.
Yeah, I'm going to sell that. Now, I don't think Cam Newton's going to be a potential first ballot Hall of Famer by any means, but he's won two division titles in a row, doesn't have great weapons around him, pretty solid weapons. I'd say at least average among the top teams in the NFL. At worst, I'd say he's a top 15 quarterback. So is he overpaid? Sure, a little bit. I think most quarterbacks are, obviously, most athletes are.
Oh, no doubt.
But he's getting a bad rap, I think. I'm not going to, you know, drink the Kool-Aid and say he's a legit all-pro quarterback. He's got some major accuracy issues he's going to have to continue to get work and work better on. But he's, when healthy, which has been an issue for the last few years, he's still a top 12, top 15 quarterback. Trust me, there's at least 15 teams in the NFL that would be significantly better if they had Cam Newton on their team, and they don't. And that's why these stinky teams keep drafting the top 10, because they don't have guys at least as good as Cam Newton. So I'm going to sell that.
All right. Ronnie?
I'm right there, too. I'm with Dan. I'm selling it. Not all of Cam's bad stats or his performance is his fault. They've surrounded him in times with terrible personnel, and which certainly doesn't help him any. However, I would definitely – it's time to cut my losses with Cam and try someone else. There's no way I'd pay him the kind of money he's going to want, so I'm selling it.
All right. Hey, if I'm Cam Newton and when they get rid of Steve Smith last year,
yeah,
I make a trip to slap somebody. I don't know who it is I'm going to slap, but I'm going to slap somebody.
Yeah, he's kind of been left out in the cold, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, number four, and I guess we are too runny on this one. A poll today shows 64% of those responding to the poll say the New England Patriots are cheaters. Buy, sell, or hold the idea that the Patriots are cheaters.
Oh, I buy that 100%. But to add to that, every NFL team, if they have the opportunity, they're going to cheat.
Fair enough.
That's just my pick on it. So there you go. I'm buying it.
All right, Dan, are the Patriots cheaters? Buy, sell, or hold?
Yeah, I'm actually going to hold on this. I'm not taking a huge stance. I'm still kind of waiting for the next week or two, maybe after the Super Bowl, but certainly, you know, in a way, every team, like you mentioned, has been prone to doing stuff like this. Obviously, the Patriots would probably top the list, but we've seen competitive drive leads to issues at times with many personnel, many players, many coaching staff. So I'm kind of going to hold on this, but certainly they've teetered. New England has, at least, on the line before. So I guess I'd have to lean towards, you know, buying them as cheaters, but I would hold because we've seen things like this, not quite often before, but many in the NFL, we've seen typical things where it's debatable of how bad of a big of a deal it is.
Right.
And New England, obviously, is always at the top. So I'm kind of still a little bit of hold there.
If this was actually a stock, you would be getting out the chart right now and looking at the stock chart and seeing. So. All right, then we're back to NCAA football now, and we're going to go to Dan. Our first one, Lane Kiffin will become the offensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers.
I'm actually going to hold that as well. I think he likely leaves, I would say, in the next 2 years. Many people feel like he's already been gone since that Sugar Bowl, and many want him to. But I think he might come back for one more year and then go. We've seen him kind of stay at a place for a few years, but nothing more than essentially 3 years. So I'm going to hold because I think he's got a good chance of staying for at least one more year.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with Dan. I'm going to hold that as well. I couldn't say any better than Dan did. So
you're all looking at the stock chart.
That's it. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Another Lane Kiffin question, and this is to you, Ronnie. Mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin would be better served staying at Alabama under Nick Saban and proving he can stay in one place for over 3 years.
Oh, there's no question. I'm buying that, you know, 100%. How could he not improve his stock by staying with Nick Saban, who has won, as we said earlier, 4 national championships. He wins every year. He's going to have good talent or great talent every year. It's not going to be one of those situations, you know, where what Kiffin wants to run, he doesn't have the personnel for. They're going to get the best personnel that's available, that's right out there in most cases. So definitely I'm buying it. He's a lot better off if he stays in Tuscaloosa.
All right. Dan, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to buy as well, even though it scares me a little bit because Lane Kiffin is really never suited to do anything normal.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so that's why I wouldn't be shocked. It's one of those things. I would buy, like you guys mentioned, I think Ronnie hit it on the head there. I think no talent better than that Alabama arguably at least among the best talent, the worst case scenario for the next few years. So, and they keep getting top two or, in this case, number one recruiting talent. So, yeah, you're not going to see much better chances to coach pretty much NFL players at every position.
That's right. He just coaching them a little earlier than he would be at San Francisco.
So. You got it.
All right, Dan, to you. Rumors have said that Saban is becoming harder and harder to work for. With the departure of Kevin Steele to LSU, Lance Thompson to Auburn, and now possibly Kiffin to San Francisco, it's evident there are problems within the Alabama coaching staff. Buy, sell, or hold?
I'm going to sell this. I certainly, you know, we'll let those rumors continue to stir up and see if it leads to maybe not as much success that we've seen them in terms of failing to win a national championship. But I think coaching changes happen, obviously, a ton. A lot of these coaches sometimes come to Bama. They try to stay as much as they can, but we see coordinators and anybody on the coaching staff not named Nick Saban, they often use this as a resume builder more times than not. And that happens a lot of cases with other programs, whether it's the MAC or a lower-tier BCS team, and if they have a decent season, it builds them more success and gives them an opportunity for bigger and better things. We've seen Wisconsin, Oregon State, certainly Paul Chryst now back at Wisconsin. He had a decent couple years or a season with Pittsburgh, and now he's a head coach. So this is the same thing, I think, for Pitt, for Alabama, excuse me. So I would sell that.
All right. Got a sale there.
You got two sales. I sell that. I sell it, too.
Setting it.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty simple, isn't it?
Putting it on the block.
If I agree with Dan, there's no need for me to say another word.
Yep.
Because he's covered it all.
All right. So, Ronnie, up to you this time.
All right.
And we're going to go down to Baton Rouge.
Oh, a little Cajun country.
Yeah. If Les Miles doesn't have a 10-win season this year, the fans may be renting a moving van and helping him pack. The Mad Hatter is spending his last days as LSU's coach.
I'm going to buy that. I believe that. I believe there's I think there's just some pressure there that he's got to get back to the level that they were earlier, and they're not there now. Many factors play into that, but I think they're going to have a really good football team this year. He's made some coaching changes, and we all know when you start making coaching changes, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you're usually the next one to go.
Yeah, adios.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I'm going to buy that. He's got to get it done. You know, he's got, again, I think he needs to have 10 wins to assure, you know, being able to be at LSU, you know, a little bit longer.
All right, Dan, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to sell. I'm not, you know, overly confident in this. I'd barely sell. But, I mean, I still think it's going to have to be a disastrous year. Obviously, the ending of LSU's football season was not good, and losing their bowl game was pretty ugly. But I think it's going to be a nightmare. And Albatross, you know, miss a bowl game next year, then maybe we're in business of him potentially getting the axe or being forced to leave. But I would give him at least another 2 or 3 years of, you know, stinking up the joint for him to lose his job. You know, he's been a legend there, arguably, I would argue. So, obviously, it's all about what have you done for me lately in this type of life that we live in with college football. But if they can at least win 9 games after the postseason, they're still going to be a top 10, top 15 program. Certainly this past season they were anything but, and their offense needs to step up quite a bit, and they're not having quite the freaks in the defensive front that they've had in years past. So I'm going to sell that, but certainly this upcoming season's huge because the SEC West is coming off, you know, a year where the postseason didn't go so well, but obviously the regular season also had issues. And you got to finish and hire, you know, middle of the pack at least in the SEC West. And certainly that's going to be very difficult. But I'm going to sell. But certainly next year we could be looking back at this and I'll be the one that's wrong perhaps. But we'll see.
All right. Fair enough. Three more and we're going to swap over to the round ball now. Basketball. and who am I to now? I've done forgot. Dan answers first this time. Okay. That should be pretty easy. Yeah. Whoever answers last goes
first the next time. You're a smart man. That's why you own your own business.
That's it. Okay, Dan. LeBron James scored more points than any player in NBA history before the age of 30, but only because he has played over 3,000 minutes more than any other player by the age of 30. Buy, sell, or hold?
I'll buy that and throw in the mix of, you know, defense is not played much in the NBA, college basketball quite frankly, is much more physical than the NBA. Certainly, they give you 2.5 to 4.5 steps oftentimes in transition. It's easy to score 20 points if you're not a bad player in the NBA, but certainly it's pretty darn tough to do it for a long extended period of time. So I will buy this, but certainly LeBron James is obviously proven he's a first ballot Hall of Fame player, talent, production. He's won the rings. He stops playing tomorrow. He's still a Hall of Famer, first ballot. So I'll buy that because of how young he started. It's not quite the same where kids didn't get thrown into the fire like kind of he did and get big-time playing time, but certainly the league has changed from, say, just the 90s. But taking nothing away from him because he could be one of the greatest to ever play when he retires, but certainly I'll buy this because of how much playing time he got on right out of the gates.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I'm going to buy that as well. Not taking anything away from LeBron or anything. He is a phenomenal basketball player, phenomenal athlete. I think he could have probably played in the NFL.
He could play anything
he wanted to. Great, great player. I saw him play last year, year before, whenever they played the Hawks in the playoffs, and he lit them up for 40, I think 44. And it was honestly like men playing with boys. There was nobody on that court that could even come close to him physically. And he was so big and so strong and so fast. He is a great, great player. I'm buying that. He's just a phenomenal athlete.
All right. That leads us into another question now that makes this one even more interesting. And Ronnie, you're first. It's simple. Michael Jordan is the best player to ever play in the NBA.
I'm buying it.
You're buying it.
Simply because he played in the era. We were about the same age. So we kind of grew up, watching Michael Jordan because we were the same age. I get in this argument with my boys all the time. They can't believe that I would even put Jordan in the category with a LeBron James. But in my mind, it being, almost 52 years old, there's no question. Look, I would take Jordan any day.
All right, fair enough. What do you say, Dan?
Yeah, 110% agree. You have to buy that. Obviously, the ring speaks for itself. We'll see if many players get more than him. But you could argue his best performances and production was always at the most important times when the team needed him the most. And certainly growing up watching him, to go 72-10, you could argue that was the greatest team in NBA history. And to do it when he came back from that year and a half retirement hiatus and to go, then win another three-peat, that's something we'll probably never see, at least in that type of formula. So, yeah, you could argue not just NBA, but maybe the performance NFL player, I should say professional player.
Right.
So easy buy for me, greatest ever. To do it in the postseason the way he did and how he did it is something we may never see again.
Right, and one thing, Michael Jordan, that stands out in my mind, and I know both of you will remember it, when he had the flu. And he had been throwing up and couldn't hardly get out of bed, and he goes out and lights him up. LeBron gets short-winded, and he's sitting over there laying down on the side. So that, that's the difference to me. So.
I hear you.
All right, I had to throw something Auburn in. We've not even mentioned Auburn today.
Oh, my gosh. That's why it's been a good day.
Yeah. Okay. Ronnie, I guess you're first. Auburn hiring Bruce Pearl has done more to improve Alabama's basketball team and Anthony Grant's coaching than anything Alabama could have done for themselves.
I'm selling that.
You're selling it?
I'm selling it because once Bruce Pearl was hired, Grant already had the club that he's got now. That's the only reason I'm selling it. The next year, two or three, if Grant is still there, it's going to force him to be a better coach and have a better team, or they will fire him.
Right.
But right now, I'm going to sell it just because the club he's got, he already had before Pearl got on the scene.
Fair enough. All right, Dan, what's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I'm gonna sell as well. That's well said. So I'm gonna sell. I think obviously Bama's been decent, but I think it's Anthony Grant's a good coach. I think he's missed another trip to the dance. But we've seen the SEC struggle a bit the last few years in terms of getting a bunch of teams in. I think Bruce Pearl and Auburn could eventually get there, but right now, like you mentioned, Anthony Grant has a kind of a heads up. He's a little got a little advantage, and maybe they won't get him this year, but I think certainly down the road things can change, but certainly Bama in a good position right now. So I'm agreeing to you. I'll sell that.
Okay, that's fair enough, and I've got one I'm gonna throw out at both of you just to pick a winner because we're on basketball. Kentucky, Virginia, both of them sitting there 1-2. They play. Let's say they play tonight out in the backyard. Who wins that game?
Me or Dan?
Go ahead, Ronnie.
I haven't seen Virginia play. Only just very very little. Good club. I'm taking Virginia because just. Because they're older kids. How about that?
Virginia for experience. What do you say, Dan?
Yeah, I'm actually going to agree with him there. I'm going to give a slight nod, at least tomorrow, on that, as you asked the question, or tonight, tomorrow. I think Virginia would get an edge. Kentucky's still struggling a little bit, trying to find its way. It's kind of gone away from the platoon system, so they're only playing 8-9 guys right now, but obviously all those 9 guys likely to play in the NBA in the next year or two. But obviously, Kentucky is far more talented team that can score much easier than Virginia. But in college basketball, they let those guys play much more physical. Those men, Virginia can match up well with Kentucky, not nearly as lengthy as Kentucky. And I'd love to see those two match up in April for the Final Four or national championship. But at the moment, I'll give Virginia the nod. Certainly, Kentucky would be probably 6 points, 5 point favorites or something. But I would give Kentucky. I would go against Kentucky, take Virginia at the moment. So I think both, obviously, clear-cut 1-2 teams. And maybe we'll see that down the road, but I'll give Virginia a slight nod right now. It's been amazing both run the table so far.
Hey, that's fair enough. And if it happens, I'll say both of you called it. So.
We called it.
Hey, Dan, anything else you want to throw at us before we let you go?
No. I appreciate you guys having me on. I can't believe we're almost in February, and we'll be talking more college hoops, and can't believe the Super Bowl is almost here.
That's right.
Just a little bit over a week away. So
that's right. When we talk to you next week, it'll be the popcorn will be popping, and the beverages will be flowing. So.
And they'll be pumping the football. So.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dad, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you joining us each week, and your knowledge of the game continues to amaze us, and, man, we just really appreciate you joining us each Thursday. So.
Well, you got it. I appreciate you guys having me on. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys next Thursday.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. See you, bud.
You got to have a great one, guys. Bye.
Okay.
All right. That was just there as we said, Ronnie. He knows the game.
That's it. Any game. Doesn't matter which one.
We're going to ask him about croquet next week.
I'm sure he would have some stats on it.
Until then, we're going to take a break, come back with a little moolah action, and our local pro.
Rex Chambers is going to be with us and give us some tips on how to put more fish in the boat. So, guys and gals, get your pens and papers out. Because Rick's can flat help you out.
And stay tuned for a county tournament announcement.
That's right. That's true.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Happy New Year from Live 95 WRKM LP Coleman.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Michael's Flowers and Design in Cullman is your one-stop flower shop for any occasion, now carrying fine wine and craft beer. Michael's Flowers and Design is located in downtown Cullman next to Berkeley Bob's Coffee House, now also hosting special events and wine tasting. Our beautiful store is located at 302 First Avenue Southeast. We can be reached at 256-841-5553 or online at michaelsflowersanddesign.com.
All right, right on cue. Rex has called in, and if he's out there right now, he's getting wet.
That's right. He's reeling his lines in, I bet you.
Hey, Rex,
no, no other radio programs run this smooth, guys.
That's right.
Right on time, right on clockwork.
Welcome to Sports Talk Live once again, Rex.
How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Hey, we got you great.
Yes, sir.
I just spent the last half hour sitting trying to eat a little dinner, talking to a Georgia fan about recruiting. Now I'm talking fishing.
Can life get any better for you than that, Rex? Got a brand new Phoenix bass boat. His wife, Rex's wife, is good with it. So I'm telling you, you are living a charmed life, Rex.
I got no complaints.
Absolutely. Hey, my question is going to be a rather long question today. And for those folks who do listen, I want to say every question that we ask Rex, he doesn't have a clue that it's coming. So everything he gives you is just off the top of his head. So that's why
you got to talk really.
Hey, Rex, I want you to take us through every season of the year. Start with winter, then spring, summer, and fall. Tell us in those time frames what the fish kind of do during that season and how we can maybe catch a few more fish and what we would need to have on our line in that particular season to catch more fish. Does that make sense?
It made sense. Well, I almost just got T-boned right.
Oh, gosh. You got that last week, too.
I tell you. Hey, wintertime, of course, it's cold water. Everybody in cold water, two things to remember. You usually go deeper, and you usually downsize your baits.
Okay.
Which means going to smaller jigs, finesse worms, small crankbaits, flat-sided crankbaits.
Okay.
You know you're not going to get a lot of topwater bites in the dead of winter. So you go deeper, not even just downsizing. Maybe you got to have a bigger bait to get down there deeper. Maybe you want to throw a 20-plus crankbait or something like that. So it's a variety of things you can do in the wintertime, but your biggest thing is you go deeper and you throw smaller baits on smaller lines.
Okay. Now, Rex, is the reason you go smaller because maybe fish are, wintertime, they're more lethargic?
Yeah, their reaction time is slower.
Okay.
And of course, now if you can put a big bait in front of a big fish, he's going to eat it.
Right.
But the rule of thumb is to downsize your baits, downsize your line, because the bites are more finicky. Usually the water's a lot clearer because you don't have a lot of rain in the wintertime. Can't say that right now, but as a rule, that's what you go by.
I got you. So that's wintertime.
Springtime, what do? You break out your topwater baits. My favorite time of year, early spring, when that water starts really to start warming up, which is for us, the end of February, middle of March, that's when that water starts to warm up a couple of degrees every day, and you break out. Two things I throw in the springtime. I throw a topwater bait, and I throw a bull shad swim bait.
Okay.
Can't beat it. Big fish baits, because the big fish are going to be feeding up for springtime because they're wanting to go on bed.
Okay.
But then they go on bed, they got to be fat because they don't eat for a long time.
I got you. Okay. And you're talking about spring, are we, you know, are we going to say that's March, April-ish? I mean, you know.
That's end of February, all of March, all of April, even some of May, because you look at Tennessee River, by May, the spawn is just about over.
Right.
You look at Smith Lake, May, the spawn is just starting.
It just depends on the lake you're on.
Right. And the area of the state you're on, but right here close, you know, I mainly talk about Smith Lake and Gunnersville because I live right in between both of them.
Sure.
So, but you're looking at, like I said, May starts the spawn for Smith because the water, you know, when that water hits 55 degrees in early spring, that's when they start locking on beds. And it takes Smith Lake a while longer to warm up than it does the 4 foot deep water of Gunnersville where they literally start bedding in February.
Wow. Okay.
But like I said, you go top water in big swim bait, such as the bullshad, and wake it on top because those fish are feeding
right.
Lots of other baits work. But if you look at my deck of my boat in late February, all of March, first of May, you're going to see two or three different top water baits and two or three different sides of bullsheds laying there.
I got you. Okay, so that's spring, right?
Spring.
Okay, take us to summer.
You go to summertime when the water gets hot, all the fish do again. The majority of them go deep, get in some cooler water. But Smith Lake, a little different animal. I still throw the top water in the hot summertime.
Uh-huh.
It's so clear in the summertime, a big Xeris boot, big bullshed, those fish will get out there and suspend in that cooler water and 35, 40 foot deep. A good top water bait will actually bring them up that far and
make them
to the surface. And there's nothing like a big 3 or 4 pound spot coming from 40 feet.
Oh, man. At
full speed, get a top water bait.
Absolutely.
It's the most blood pumping thing you can do, especially on Smith. Gunnersville, right the opposite. Gunnersville, I want to go deeper on Gunnersville. But if I'm not grass fishing, I want to get out on the ledges. I want to find that 12 to 22, 23 feet mark where that rolling water is a little cooler than the surface temp.
Right.
And I want to put a big crankbait and a big jig out there and get them in a hot, when the weather really gets hot. And then you go to the other end of the spectrum. There are also shallow fish in the grass because the grass provides them with lots of cover, lots of bait, lots of shade.
Right.
And you go to flipping. Once those mats start topping out, in the summertime, you start flipping big, heavy baits right in the middle of it.
I got you. Would it be fair to say, Rex, that when you talk about the fish in the summer and it getting hot, moving out deep, could you say that that's also similar to the way they react in the wintertime? They move deep.
It is. I mean, you know, in the wintertime, they find that the water temperatures are out deep are sometimes a little warmer than the shallow water is.
Right.
You kind of teeter totter there just a little bit. Everybody says, well, the water 30 foot deep on Smith Lake's always cold. You're right. It's always cold. But in the dead of winter, is it colder than the surface temp that's battling the 20 degree nights? No, it's not.
Right.
You know, it's probably a few degrees. Not much. Fish will migrate to 1 degree change if it's more comfortable to them.
I see.
Case in point on that is a springtime rain on Smith Lake. Springtime, everybody likes to fish the run-ins. Anytime we have a rain, everybody flops to the run-ins.
Right. Uh-huh.
The one thing you got to look for is what's your main lake temperature. If your main lake temperature is 52 and you idle back into a pocket where there's a spring running in, and I mean rolling in, pushing some good water.
Right.
And you get back up in there and it's 51, there's not going to be any fish in there. But if it's 53, if it's 1 degree warmer, they're going to be loaded. They find that warmer water in the springtime.
And
vice versa. They find the cooler water in the summertime.
Right. And 1-2 degrees can make all the difference in the world.
I've seen 1 degree make your day.
Wow. So, all right. So we've been winter, we've been spring, we've been summer. All right. Take us to fall.
You're seeing the pattern here. It's going to be top water.
Exactly.
I mean, hey, top water is a love it or leave it, you know, love and
yeah.
hate relationship. But I literally, if I would have been on Smith Lake today, dead of winter, although it wasn't that cold, I fenced on a topwater bait. Because the sun warmed that water temperature up probably 4, 5, 6 degrees what it was that morning. And so you could have caught some fish. You wouldn't have had a great day, but you could have caught some fish on a topwater bait. Same thing in the fall. The fall time is topwater all day long. Especially if you're on the Tennessee River, it's daylight to dark.
Oh, man.
Because those fish are, one thing is they're feeding up for winter. They know winter time's coming.
Right.
And things are going to slow down. And plus, the shad are at the surface, and they're around the grass edges, and buzz baits, spooks, bull sheds. I had my greatest year ever on a bull shed this fall. Actually, I say fall. End of summer, from the end of July till the end of October. I can almost bet you when I was on the Tennessee River that 80 to 85% of my time I was throwing a bull shed swim bait. Because I was looking for big bites.
Right.
And there were days where we caught 30 and 40 a day on it, and there is nothing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's hard to load the boat and go to the house when you're having days like that, isn't it?
You can't do it.
You just have to call home and say, I'm just going to be a little bit longer.
Not if you love it. You can't do it.
That's exactly right. Well, hey, Rex, if you're looking, if someone's looking for a season that they're going to be catching more numbers, is that going to be spring and fall?
Yeah, spring and fall by far. Early spring.
Okay.
Rule of thumb for me is April 1st on Smith. It's when the topwater bite really starts to explode.
Uh-huh.
And you can catch a lot of numbers and have some size mixed in with it.
Right.
For Tennessee River up on Gunnersville, anywhere from late February, like I said, all the way to fall for as far as throwing some good topwater catching numbers. But, of course, you're going to catch a few bigger fish on Gunnersville. We can't say that during these summer, wintertime weights that we're seeing in tournaments. But
right.
As a rule of thumb, that's the way it goes.
Exactly. And would it also be true, and I've heard this, and I think you mentioned it before, as far as catching the big fish wintertime, you won't catch as many, but you're going to catch big fish in winter?
As a rule, yes. I can't say last Saturday. Last Saturday, we fished Gunnersville, little tournament. We caught probably 16 to 20 fish during the day. And they were all identical. I mean, we never had a 5-pound bite, but we had every one of them were 3 to 4.5. And we just never caught a big fish. But as a rule, yes, your bites you get in the dead of winter are usually going to be better fish, especially if you slowed down, downsized, and took your time.
I got you. Hey, Gretch, are there any tournaments coming up anytime soon? I know this weekend, and I know tomorrow night it's supposed to be kind of, tomorrow be nasty, but anything going on if somebody's wanting to try to get in a tournament, or nothing right now?
Nothing major. Have about 2 more weeks to get in on the Alabama Bass Trail. That starts up in February. The South Division will be, I think it starts February 14th, I think, on Valentine's Day,
Oh, that's a great day to go fishing. See how that goes well for you at home.
Always there, too. I always get in trouble on Valentine's Day.
Oh, I bet you do.
But that's their cutoff is in 2 weeks to get into the South Division and 3 weeks for the North Division.
Uh-huh.
The North Division is almost full. They've got 225, 230 boats already. So
wow.
They're only going to accept 250, or 200, maybe 240.
Uh-huh. So you better make your choices pretty quick then.
You got to hurry up and make your decision. The South Division is wide open. I don't think there's quite 200 boats in
uh-huh.
it. It won't fill up.
Right.
So you got to the last day to get in on it. But you never know. There may be a bunch of bass fishing are the biggest procrastinators in the world. I'm pretty sure I'm their leader.
You're the leader of that pack.
Right. So I'm in the North Division already just because I thought it would fill up pretty
sure.
Quick, but I still haven't paid my money for the
barrel. Well, I got
other than that, no big ones. You got the Rattle Trap Terminal will be on Gunnersville. I forget the date on it. It's
okay.
Sometime in February.
Okay.
They've changed up. It's Rattle Trap baits only, so it makes for a pretty fun tournament. There'll probably be 300 to 400 boats in it.
Right. Wow. That's a big one.
No, it's fine. Look at the... Look me up on Facebook at Rex Chambers Fishing. I usually put the dates and the flyers up for all the tournaments, and of course, I'm fixing to revamp the SmithLakeBass.com site. It's kind of behind.
Uh-huh.
I had some server difficulties, but it's going to get caught up here real soon.
Great.
And I get on my IT guy's tail to get it caught up.
I hear you. Hey, sound like you got it going on, man.
We'll see.
All right, Rex. Well, hey, man, I hear you. Hey, thanks for giving us a call every Thursday. We appreciate it. We love it. And
go easy on your IT guys.
That's it.
He's fixing to pull up right beside me here in a minute.
I got you. All right, Rex. Well, hey, thanks, bud. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rex.
Have a great
day. All right. Talk to you soon. See you, Rex. Well, there you go. If you need to know anything about fishing, Rex Chambers can put it on you. Check him out. Check his Facebook out. It is right now 5:39. We're going to go to a break. So stay with us here, Sports Talk Live 95.5. Pay attention, get your pencils. We're coming back with Moolah.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or, if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-da-bum, bum, bum, bum.
AK Rentals has been serving Coleman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, and Saturday till noon, 734-0038, 734-0038.
Is your paycheck slipping away in insurance premiums? Let Alpha Insurance show you how to tackle savings with rewards and discounts for loyal customers. Save even more when you bundle your home, car, and life insurance with Alpha. Plus, you'll get friendly service from the hometown team right here in Coleman. That would be Cynthia Phillips, reachable at 256-734-1224, or stop by and pay her a visit behind Sonic Drive-In at 216 Compass Way Southwest. You can also send her an email, cphillips@alphains.com.
All right, ready?
Sweet sound of money, baby.
Money, money, money.
Money.
And
we love it.
It is brought to us by the people with money.
That's it.
People's Bank of Alabama. And if you need a loan, those are the people to see.
They can hook you up.
They got it. And they've been nice enough to sponsor this segment ever since we started it. And
this is show we used to keep up with it.
I'm
going to say this is probably 45, something like that.
46, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it's in the 40s, no doubt.
And People's Bank are actually our first sponsor that signed on with us. So
that's right.
Again, folks, if you go into People's Bank, tell them a thank you for helping us out, because without them, this segment would not be possible. Me and Ronnie would have been broke a long time
ago. Oh, a long, long time ago.
Cindy by herself would have broke.
Yes, yes, she would.
In fact, Cindy, last week, that $50 would have broke me and you. So.
Yes, it would have. It's been tough. It's tough.
But it is time. The spotted cow is out, and it's dark. So, Ronnie.
Yeah. You want to just run through kind of the rules of
let's go through the rules.
We haven't done that in a long time. So.
And it is a new year, and so we need to,
to
get this rules on the table.
That's it.
All right. Moolah, for the biggest part of the time, unless you're told differently, is hidden in our sick minds.
Sick, demented
minds. Yeah, so Ronnie and I think of a place, sometime it's the last minute.
That's right.
That we think of it, but we think of a place that Moolah is hidden. We give one, two, three clues sometimes, and have even been known to send out a picture via Twitter.
You've done that before.
Which gave that one away.
And Cindy won it.
Right. You can call one time per show and guess. Now you can turn around and get your brother, your mother,
right,
or anybody else to call and take another guess. You can call the next show and guess as many times as you want to.
Yeah.
Winners are limited to one win every 30 days. And that's not been a problem except with one person. And Cindy, you're the best. I'm going to go ahead and say
it. Oh, yeah. She's a money hound.
She can find it. And actually, I think if she's not eligible this week, she will be eligible again next week. Yeah. So, folks,
it's getting close.
Yeah, you might want to get serious with this.
If Cindy's playing, you're exactly right, Jane. You better take it serious.
And if it's actually physically hidden, you can hang it up.
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
because I think she finds it before I hide it.
She's waiting on you to tape it to something where she can snatch it off.
So Ronnie is about to give us
the first clue,
and it is in the state of Alabama.
It is in the state of Alabama. The money is mentally hidden somewhere in the state of Alabama in Jason's mind and my mind. So the first clue that I'm going to give may be the only clue today. I don't know. The clue I'm giving is a very simple clue. One number, 4.
And boy, you helped people a lot with that one.
Yes,
didn't
I
you?
Did. 4. That's it. 4.
All right. Fair enough.
That's my clue, and I'm sticking to it.
Hey, that's my story. And I'm
sticking to that too.
Hey, I got 7 more numbers you might want to give people.
Yeah. we can give them some more numbers, but that one is the best one.
That's it.
Yep.
All right. Now then, let's move on south, talk about the county tournament a little bit.
Give them the 7 numbers that are on the screen.
Yeah, 7 numbers on the screen are 256. That's more than 7. 256-737-9951 if you want to take a stab at finding moolah after the one clue of 4.
Okay, and Jay, there's other numbers on there. It's 05-462-2-3
now.
Yeah, 2-3 now. It keeps changing, Jay. That's 30.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
We don't know what that is.
I'll have my people get with your people and we'll talk about it.
We'll figure it out after the show. But getting back to the county tournament, yes, the county tournament begins, Jason, this Saturday, Wallace State at the Tom Drake Coliseum. Play begins at 1 o'clock. There are 6 games this Saturday. First round games. There will be JV boys games, JV girls games, and there will be 1 ninth grade boys. If you want me to call those out, I can. If you don't, that's fine.
Now let's run them down real quick so everybody knows. Give us a time, and somebody might be listening that wants to go see their grandson.
Okay, I'll have to work through these brackets here and make sure I get the games in order. So if you hear a little bit of a silence, it's because I'm hunting the next game. The first game this Saturday is at 1 o'clock, and that will be junior varsity girls. Yeah.
I'm raising my hand. Folks can't see it, but I'm raising my hand like I'm in a classroom to ask a question.
Ask the question.
Teacher?
Can't go to the bathroom.
Are we going to pick the winners of these games?
We can pick the winners of each one of these games. If you want to.
Let's do it while we're doing it. As we go down through here, let's pick the winners.
All right. And so I'll call the seeds out, how they're seeded too, okay?
Yeah, that'll help.
First game of the tournament, junior varsity girls. Holly Pond seeded number 4, Good Hope seeded number 5.
I'm going with the Holly Pond Broncos.
You write it down, or do you mean keep it on here?
I've got it.
Okay. All right, you got Holly
Pond. It'd be better you keep it on there, because I don't know.
Okay. All right, you've got Holly Pond. I will also go with Holly Pond. Okay, game number 2, and again, I will have to I'll have to find these. Take me just a second.
I could sing or something while you're looking.
I'll find them quicker. this is the next game, second game at 2:15. It's a junior varsity boys. Hansville, which is also seeded 4, plays Good Hope, which is seeded 5.
I'm going with a higher seed, Hansville.
You're going to go with Hansville. And I think I will go with Good Hope, just to be different. Okay, that's the 2:15 game.
Ronnie, you've been different for a while.
I know. So. The 3:30 game is the ninth grade boys, and that is Fairview, who is seeded number 4, will be playing Hansville, who is seeded number 5.
I'm going again with a higher seed.
Boy, yeah, you were.
I'm going
you're
out
a gambler,
land.
Aren't
yeah.
you? All right, so Jason's taking Fairview. I'm going to just do the opposite, and I'm taking Hanceville to win the first ninth grade boys game. That's at 3:30. At 4:45, we have junior varsity boys again. Cold Springs, which is seated third, will be playing Fairview, which is seated sixth.
I'm going to go with a higher seed again, Cold Springs.
All right, Jason's going with Cold Springs, and I'm going to go with Cold Springs as well. Again, that's the 4:45 game. The 6 o'clock game is a junior varsity girls game, and that is Cold Springs, seated number 3, against Vinemont, seated number 6.
I'm going to go with the higher seeded team again, Cold Springs.
You sound like a Lois Lerner when she was testifying. I'm taking the 5th.
I take the fifth.
Well, I'm also going to take Cold Springs, okay? And then the last game, I believe that will be the last one we've gone through. Let me just glance quickly. Yes, the last game of Saturday night will be West Point. I'm sorry, this is junior varsity boys. It will be West Point, the 2 seed, against Vinemont, the 7 seed.
I'm going to go with the higher seed again.
You're going to take Vinemont this time? All right. Jason is taking West Point Junior Varsity Boys. They're the 2 seed, and I'm also going to take West Point Junior Varsity Boys for basically the same reason, because they are the 2 seed. So those are the games for this Saturday, January the 24th. Games start at 1 o'clock. They are scheduled, I think, about every hour and 15 minutes. All the games, the first night will be JV, boys, girls, and ninth grade games. So there is kind of a little rundown of Saturday's brackets.
All right, and the music means it's time for a break. We come back, we will talk about what part we will be playing at the county tournament. Going to be a little different, so hang on, and you might want to get a note pad ready for some things you may need. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or online at www.mortonbuildings.com. Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800. It's Odin's Auto Glass.
Scissor Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors. AK Rentals has been serving Coleman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday 7 to 5 and Saturday till noon. 734-0038. 734-0038.
All right, welcome back. Sports Talk Live, the number 256-737-9951, and Cindy has dialed that number. Cindy, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, we're great. How about you?
Oh, doing good, doing good. Ready to win some moolah.
I know.
Hey, if you get this, I will...
You'll double it.
Yeah, I'll double it.
Really?
Yes.
Just today,
yeah.
If okay. You,
after that one clue.
Okay. The Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Well, really, Cindy, I have to say I'm not sorry because I would have doubled that. So. That would have come out of my pocket.
Oh, man. Okay. We'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye, Cindy.
Cindy.
Hey, Cindy.
All right.
Bye-bye. Cindy.
Yeah.
We just wanted to check on you and make sure you've been okay. It's been a month since we've heard from you. So.
Oh, I know. I've been doing good. I've been listening.
Okay. Good deal.
Good deal.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Have a good one.
Bye, Cindy.
Hello.
But there's, you might as well guess.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah, it don't cost anything to guess.
There you go. You're right. It doesn't cost anything to guess.
All right, Ronnie.
Yeah.
As everyone knows, a local station here in town does the play-by-play each year at the county tournament.
Yes.
So, management here at Live 95...
Wait, we have that? I didn't know that.
Yes, that might be you.
I learned something today. Okay.
He's a CEO.
Proceed, yeah. Proceed.
After discussions with management, we have come up with the idea of doing something a little different. We will be present at the county tournament, have a table set up and broadcast Tuesday and Thursday from the county tournament, but we're not going to do play-by-play. We will update the scores. Maybe if it comes down to a 2-3 point ball game at the end, you know, we might keep up with that. But we're going to have some fun with it. We're going to have some contests. And, ladies, pack your purses full of whatever. Because if you've ever
careful
seen
now.
The show,
careful
yeah, let's make a deal.
Oh,
we
my
will
goodness.
Be doing some let's make a deal, calling out over the radio what you need to bring down to us, and if you're the first one to get it down there, you're going to win anything from maybe $50 to a cup to a t-shirt to whatever. We will be interviewing coaches. We will be interviewing some, as I say, has-beens
yeah.
that has been there before,
yeah.
and the age has passed them by now, and kind of like we are.
You got that right.
We will play moolah at Wallace. Moolah will be hidden next week somewhere at Wallace. And so
okay.
Moolah will be involved in it. Who knows, the spotted cow.
Well, today's Thursday. We need somebody to... Are we going to have it hidden twice? Because we
might have two prizes going on for
see,
you there.
Because we've just hidden one today, and today's
yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah, if it's... Yeah,
so
if
it's going to carry
found
over.
By then, we'll have two of them out. So we'll
yeah.
have two cows.
We will because you won't be back on there until Tuesday.
Right.
And you'll be down there Tuesday.
Right. So.
Okay. Two chances to win money.
We will have a contest, a section contest, we're going to call it. And more details of that will be coming at the county tournament when I kind of get it all worked out in my mind.
Your sick mind is coming up with some.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But. All in all, it's going to be informative because you're going to get to hear from some people you probably haven't heard from
yeah.
in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fun. And who knows, it could be beneficial to you. You yeah. could win some money, T-shirt, cup.
Exactly. And at the very least, y'all are going to say, hey, to win this prize, y'all need to bring us dinner. Yeah,
right.
There you go.
I'm going to give you an example of something we may come out.
Go
on
to
the air.
Woody's Sports Grill and bring back burgers.
And that could be. We could say the first person that brings us a bag of popcorn wins
$20. Yeah, $5.
Or, yeah, we could say the first person that brings us purple nail polish wins so and so. So pack your purses with things. That you
are you going to put this on your Facebook?
Things that you might
yeah.
need.
Yeah, it'll be on Facebook. More details and
yeah.
just look for the Sports Talk Live 95 banner
yeah.
at the county tournament. I know Ronnie's going to be busy coordinating the tournament.
Yeah.
And so he will be in and out, but
you can.
He won't leave me alone. I'll have somebody with me.
Yeah, so. You might get Eddie.
I might get Bruce Parker to sit in with.
There you go. He's got nothing to do.
That's right. He's not got anything to
do.
And hopefully we'll.
I see us set up in the track area or table, and Jason go, "Hey, you come over here and have a seat for 10 minutes."
Hey, if I get desperate enough, I will. I'll flag down whoever's.
Oh, man. All
right. But the main thing is we're going to update the scores, tell the winners of the games, and have some fun.
Talk to some former coaches, some present coaches, and maybe can talk to some players possibly, too.
That's right. So Tuesday, look for us at Wallace State. Thursday, look for us at Wallace State. But until then, look for us at the house because – it's time to say goodbye. And I'm going to leave you, Ronnie, with a big war eagle.
And I'll leave you with a big old row tie, Jason.
Hey, we will see you at Wallace State Community College Tuesday, folks. You've been listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
That's it. Good luck to all the county teams.
That's it.
Another one bites the dust. one bites the dust, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Almost a full year old. You're listening to Live 95 Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP Coleman.
busted, keeps my mind racing. Like you hear the music playing in my head, it echoes all the sounds pacing. Keeps